The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is the Sheffield United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. The next 30 minutes dedicated to the Blades and the Blades only. And it's been a night of good shows. We just had the Leicester City Fan Show and they won 4-0. Well, guess what? It's the Sheffield United Fan Show and they are still on a high from the weekend. Well, we hope so, because they went to Everton. 2 goals, clean sheet, 3 points. Thank you and yes, please. What a performance from them and what a performance overall this season. And for Chris Wilder, all the plaudits have to go to him and his team, because they are certainly paving the way for the other promoted side. It's fantastic so far. And don't look now, but they are up to 8th. Yes, that's right, 8th. 8 points level with Man United. What a way they are going. But as always, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by James Shield from the Sheffield Star. James, it never goes too quickly when I get to talk to you again. Always a delight. How are you feeling from the weekend? Because wasn't it a great victory?
It was an absolutely superb victory. Yeah, and I'm feeling very good, but probably not as good as the Sheffield United team. I wouldn't have thought it was. It was a superb win, and I think we'll probably get into this later. But I think it was really, really significant for a whole host of reasons.
And what were those host of reasons, James? Because, you know, looking at it, you know, again, away from home, this is a side that Everton were talked up this year, weren't they? You know, they've spent the money, you know, Marco Silva still very new into his era there, you know, and this was one of the favoured sides, shall we say, to break that top four, top six. Not quite happening for them, but Sheffield United keep going to these places, Stamford Bridge, Goodison Park, you know, the bigger arenas, shall we say, of the Premier League, and Sheffield United just keep doing their business.
They do. I think it was, when I say it was significant, and this is going to sound a little bit strange, but the first half, they went in at half time, they were 1-0 up, and, you know, to be absolutely honest, they hadn't played very well. And the manager touched on this afterwards in his post match press conference. But, you know, those of us who were there really didn't need sort of anything explaining to us. They'd been pretty poor on the ball. They'd not used it as well as they had in previous games. And by and large, it was a pretty fractious performance for the first 45 minutes. But they went 1-0 up at the break, thanks to an own goal. Although it came from an excellent Oliver Norwood corner and Jack O'Connell, who there's no point in beating about the bush, showed more desire and more determination to try and connect with that corner than Jordan Pickford, the Everton goalkeeper, did. But I think it was significant, because although they improved immeasurably after the break and were the better side from there on in, Everton sort of finished the game, to be honest, looking pretty bereft of ideas, which is sort of testament, I think, to the way Sheffield United defended. But I think it was significant because it showed them that, do you know what, they've got it in their locker. They've got the ability to go into these games against established Premier League sides. And as you quite rightly said, good Premier League sides, good established Premier League sides. They can go into those games, not play particularly well, but they can still find a way to win. And I think just psychologically, although, listen, they're going to want to play better than that for the rest of the season. But I think psychologically, that will be a real boost for them.
Well, you mentioned about going into games not playing that well when picking up the points. Well, that's exactly what Sheffield United done. 30% possession, only two shots, two goals. But I tell you what, James, and I'm not just saying this, I don't care. I don't care if it was 1% possession, 10% and one shot and an own goal, whatever you want to say. Sheffield United, they've got the W in the column and they've got the 3 points. And come the end of the season, wherever they may be, they're going to absolutely look back on that. And that's a fantastic day out.
Do you know what? You're absolutely right, Charlie. And I made a point after the game in a piece that I did for the paper. And, you know, I'm going to sound a little bit old school here. And I don't mean it like that. You know, I'm all for sort of modern scientific methods. But I do think sometimes in football, the tail sort of wags the dog a little bit. And I think with all the obsession that we've had in science, or that we've got about science, and for all the fact that we sort of pull over statistics that come out of games now. Do you know what? One of the things that I think's happened because of that is that things that you can't quantify, things that you can't actually express in terms of sort of statistics and numbers, they've almost been forgotten about in football now and sort of rendered pretty unimportant by a lot of people. But those qualities, those sort of characteristics that you can't quantify, well, what got Sheffield United through that first half? And it was just guts, it was desire, it was durability, and they got their reward for that. And they, you know, they just kept on going, they stuck to the game plan, they dug in, they threw themselves in front of balls when required, because for the first 15 minutes, Everton and Richarlison in particular were pretty dominant. But you know, it was just that sort of application that they put in and that sheer will to win that you can't, as I say, you can't express in terms of a number. But that was what they got their reward for. And you've got to say that, as you quite rightly pointed out, Everton, 70% possession. They had more attempts on goal. They had more shots on target. But what they didn't have was that just sort of sheer bloody-mindedness almost to just keep on going. And as I said, they finished the second half pretty much looking like a sort of a busted flush, and you know, they didn't really look as if they believed they were going to get into the game, and that was even before Lees Moussa scored the second goal.
Well, you're completely right, James, and unfortunately football is a results-based business, and for all their stats and their numbers, 70% possession, they've come out of the game with nothing to absolutely show for it. Let's not forget, it's points that matter here, not being great for the football fantasy stats, and people will be quick to judge on, you know, maybe Sheffield United's low possession or low chances. They're not quick to mention the fact that Sheffield United, and one of the significant factors that you mentioned at the start, well, they're unbeaten in 12 away league games. It stretches back to last season, winning 5, drawing 7. You know, that is a huge run across two leagues. How important is that stretch right now?
I think that's really, really important. And you know what? It's possibly even more important because it's something that we touched on last week, that their home form hasn't possibly been quite as strong as they would have liked it to have been. And it's, you know, I was sort of smiling to myself on the drive home, because my mind was sort of drifting back to the, you know, towards the end of pre-season, when what we kept hearing, and listen, it's what the manager and his coaching staff and the players were saying as well, is that, you know, we've got to be really strong at home. It's the results at Bramall Lane. That is what is going to decide whether or not we manage to establish ourselves in the Premier League or not.
Strangely
enough, I was going to say, yeah, they're doing it the other way around.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Stamford Bridge and Goodison Park. I'm not quite sure I agree with that.
Absolutely. But do you know what? I think one of the great things about that is if they can carry on this away form. And when, do you know what, as you said, when you've done that over two divisions, over two divisions and in two competitions, and I tell you what, you know, that doesn't happen by accident. And the other thing I think you've got to factor in, which makes that run even more impressive, is the fact that, especially towards the end of last season, that was in really, really high-pressure situations. You know, when they were going for promotion, this wasn't a team that was able just to go out there and, you know, express themselves in the knowledge that, other than their own professional pride, it didn't really matter if they won, lost or drew. You know, this was a team that knew it had to get points. And they're under the same pressure in the Premier League this season, albeit for different reasons. And I think that really does give you an insight into the sort of the character and the personality of this group.
Well, it is fantastic times for the group, and certainly it's great times for the fans. You know, being back in the Premier League, I think it's 12 seasons now, and I do want to talk about it, James, because I really enjoyed it on the weekend. Maybe a little bit too much, but the Sheffield United travelling support, 4,000 strong, up at Goodison, singing to the Everton fans, "Just like Sheffield, your city is red." I did enjoy that. Maybe slightly too much.
Yeah, well, they'll be hoping that the city of Sheffield's red next week, because of course they got Liverpool at the weekend. So maybe they were trying to soften them up a little bit and sort of, you know, flatter them with some compliments and try and take a little bit of the edge off that game, because that's going to be a really, really tough one. But no, the away support, and you've quite rightly said, I mean, it's been superb at home, and it's been absolutely phenomenal on the road. And you know, actually, joking aside, although it does sound sort of a little bit cliched, really, and people, you know, sort of say, oh, well, he would say that, and, you know, everybody says they've got the best fans in the competition, etc., etc. But you could see at the end of the game at Goodison Park, and you could see it down at Stamford Bridge as well, that real connection that the team and the staff have got with those fans who are in the away end at Goodison Park. And you know what? That's another thing. It's another thing you can't quantify, but it's another thing that's going to be really, really important for them this season.
James, I'll be honest. You keep using words like quantify, I'm going to have to bring a dictionary to the studio as well. I'm trying to Google it as you're saying it. But no, I'm only kidding. Let's talk about not only how good it's been for the fans, but look. I'll say it now, you know, I'll put a disclaimer out now. I'm not getting too carried away. It is six games, but it is still nice to look at the league table, even if it is six games, and see, hang on, we've played six, we've got 8 points. It's the same as Man United. Like, this has been a great start to the season, however you look at it.
It has been, and do you know what? I think you're right. It does actually mean something, because, you know, without stating the obvious, they would much rather be where they are in the table on 8 points, 10th in the table, than they would do, you know, they'd much rather be there than would be bottom on 1 point or 0 points. And I think the other thing was that I was talking with a colleague after the game as well. And, you know, we were sort of discussing the fact that as long as Sheffield United can stay ahead of that sort of 1 point per game average curve, the chances are that, you know, at the very least, they're going to establish themselves in the division and secure a second season there. And they're comfortably ahead of that at the moment. The other thing that they're doing is they're laying a platform, A, because they've got a tough run of games coming up, you know, possibly their toughest sequence of the season so far. So it's good that they've got those points in the bag. But what they're also doing is they're giving themselves a platform, I think, to try and make sure that then, you know, they're not sort of around that danger zone when it comes to Christmas time. Because I think what a lot of clubs will say is, if you're down and around that at Christmas time, you very rarely ever sort of get out of it. And that doesn't mean to say that you're going to go down, but I think what you often find is that, by and large, the second half of the season is a real dogfight from there on in. So this is points in the bank. And, you know, a point in August, a point in September, or 3 points in August and 3 points in September count just as much as they do in December, January, February, March, etc.
I think you're completely right. And it is a tough run of fixtures. It starts tomorrow night. You play Sunderland in the League Cup, and then that massive clash on the weekend to Liverpool. Played 6-1-6. But you know what, James? They have to lose sometimes. Maybe Sheffield are the team to do it. We're going to be talking to James what he thinks about those two fixtures next. And also, you can get involved in this Blades discussion. Tweet us at Lovesport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 55.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
You are listening to the Sheffield United Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm delighted to say I'm still joined by James Shield from the Sheffield Star. And you can join us too. Call us on 0208 7020 558 or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. James, we were just talking about that brilliant victory away at Everton. Well, it is a tough run of fixtures next. Obviously, it's Sunderland in the League Cup tomorrow night. And let's talk about that first before that huge clash against Liverpool. And it's almost a tricky one tomorrow night because you want to keep this run going, this momentum. But then obviously, you've got one eye on the weekend, haven't you?
And I think they're going to make it. Well, I don't think, I know. They're going to make an awful lot of changes for the game.
Mm.
But I think that's, you know, it's still a hugely sort of important and potentially significant game in the sense that a lot of the players who are going to come in, you know, most of them haven't had a great deal of Premier League football this season, but they're all players who quite sort of realistically can think about sort of forcing their way into that starting 11 and, you know, have sort of serious aspirations of getting their way into the starting 11. So, it's an important game for them to go out and try and win because A, it's going to, at the very least, guarantee them another sort of first-team game before Christmas. But it's also potentially going to just give the manager, Chris Wilder, and his assistant, Alan Neil, a little bit of a nudge to say, you know, listen, I'm here and I'm perfectly capable. If anybody just sort of loses their form a little bit or gets injured or suspended, you know, I'm perfectly capable of coming into this team and actually doing a job. And I know it's one thing that Chris spoke about after the last game when they beat Blackburn Rovers that, you know, he was sort of delighted that a lot of the players who had played had taken that chance. He was also quite sort of explicit in the fact that, you know, there was a couple of them that he didn't felt had. And I think the fact that he made that comment just goes to show sort of how seriously they were taking this game. But I think Sunderland are actually going to be quite sort of dangerous opposition. And I think there's quite a few players, and this is no bad thing in my eyes, I think there's quite a few players in that Sheffield United squad who'll probably be aware of that threat because this is a... Sunderland are in the situation that Sheffield United found themselves in just, you know, only three seasons ago where I think it's fair to say they were the biggest name in the division. They were the biggest scalp. They were the team that everybody else in that division was absolutely busting a gut to try and go out and beat, and they would raise their game. And Sunderland are in that position now in League One. So tomorrow, although I think it's fair to say that a club of Sunderland's stature, and this went for Sheffield United in League One as well, although clubs are that sort of size and stature, they don't get three hits and there is sort of pressure involved. But, you know, Sunderland can come into this game and just sort of almost take a deep breath, sort of exhale some air and think, you know what? That sort of really suffocating pressure, that sort of crushing weight of expectation that we've got in League One, it's off a little bit now because we're playing a Premier League club. And, you know, I think that makes them quite dangerous opposition. Sheffield United, you saw that when they got to the semi-finals of this competition under Chris's predecessor, Nigel Clough, not so long ago.
James, where did the fans stand on this one, though? Because obviously they are on a bit of a good run at the minute, Sheffield United. And maybe at the start of the season, they would have said, oh, no, let's make a challenge in one of the cups. Let's attack on those fronts. But when you have almost, you know, you're getting a few wins, you know, good result at Chelsea, good result with Everton, Liverpool on the weekend, the fans like, let's try get another good result against Liverpool. Let's be the first team to stop their 15-game run. Or the fans really want to still challenge in the cups. Where was their stance on the cups to start the season, and has it changed at all after this run?
I don't know. I mean, I think, listen, it's been a long time since Sheffield United won a major trophy, and, you know, again, sort of, I go back to the fact I'm probably a little bit old school on this, but I think I'm, you know, when you use the phrase old school, it's because, you know, that idea is actually right. That's why it stood the test of time. I don't think there's a Is there a bad medal in football to win? I've certainly not seen one. Most players finish their career sort of with nothing but memories, really. So if you finish,
I completely
that
agree.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you can, you know, and it's great to have those memories, but if you can finish it with a medal, you know, all the better. I think it's interesting, though, because we questioned Chris on this today, and sort of he was sort of having a little bit of a laugh and a joke with those of us sort of who are in the pre-match press conference, because I put to him, I said, you know, listen, you've done pretty much everything else that's been asked of you since you came into the job, both yourself and the group of players you put together. You know, would winning a piece of major silverware, would that sort of, you know, be the icing on the cake? Is that the next step? And although, you know, listen, they're going to every game wanting to win it. I think he was, you know, well, again, I don't think I know. He was quite sort of open about the fact that the Premier League and surviving in that is their priority this season. But it was interesting to him talk about the fact that, you know, perhaps we're just a little bit sort of too new in the division to be able to sort of really regard the Carabao Cup this season as a realistic chance of silverware. He made the point that some of the teams who are just a little bit ahead of them in the development curve will probably go into this round of Carabao Cup games fielding something that really does resemble their Premier League starting 11 in terms of sort of quality and in terms of experience. And that's something that possibly Sheffield United can't quite do at the moment, because they've got to keep players fresh for, you know, A, what is going to be a huge game this weekend against the champions of Europe. But every game in this division is a huge game and a huge test for them, not only mentally, but physically as well. But do you know what? Listen, if they win tomorrow night, you know, then, you know, you've really started to make inroads into the competition, and you just don't know how far you can go. Because again, I go back 2014, Sheffield United, League One club, made a terrible start to the season and got to the semi-finals of the FA Cup. Very, very nearly beat Hull City in that semi-final. They were a Premier League club at the time. And the year after that, they got to the semi-finals of the League Cup as well. You know, who would have thought they would? Who would have thought they were going to do that? And they gave Tottenham Hotspur a real lump for their money as well over two legs in that semi-final.
Yeah, they did. I remember it. Well, they are tipped to rotate the side tomorrow, James. But what is your score prediction for tomorrow night?
I'm going to go for a 3-1 Sheffield United win.
Which will probably mean, based on your previous predictions, it will be 0-0.
But off to penalties we go.
There you go. Well, we have
charming.
To.
Charming.
it's all friendly here, James. We have to turn our attention to the weekend, because it is the big one. And look, I mean, it goes without saying, Liverpool, they are frightening at the best of times. Their front three is arguably one of the best in Europe, if not the best. They're very strong going forward. They are the champions of Europe, as you said it then. But also, Sheffield United on a decent run themselves at the minute. And this may sound daft, James, but I do think Liverpool have their vulnerabilities, and maybe that's a positive to them, because they're showing that they're not on top gear, yet they're still managing to win. They did lose in the Champions League, albeit Europe's elite, but they can be got. Sheffield United are at home. The Blades fans are going to be well and truly up for this. This is an early kickoff. Klopp said he doesn't like early kickoffs. Newcastle got the opening goal last week, even though Liverpool did come on. Is there a chance Sheffield United can get something from this game?
Yeah, I think, you know, of course there's a chance. And, you know, you've only got to look at what Norwich did to Manchester City a couple of weeks
completely
ago. You know, as you quite rightly said, you know, Liverpool, they are a phenomenal side and they are frightening going forward. And they've got one of the world's sort of best defenders probably at the heart of the defence as well. Mm. But I think Chelsea showed on Sunday that, you know, they can be got at. And of course, this is a Chelsea side that was held to a draw by Sheffield United towards the end of last month as well. And I think what makes me believe that Sheffield United can take something from this game, and let's be honest, you know, a draw would be an excellent result for them. They'd be highly delighted.
It's where six teams have failed already this season, so it'd be fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. But do you know what as well? One of the reasons that makes me sort of, you know, believe that a win or a draw is possible is that I think Sheffield United are going to go into that game and they will have a go. They're not going to be stupid. They're not, you know, I don't think you're going to see too many sort of overlapping runs from the centre halves. And you saw at Everton last week that, you know, where they played with a back five to all intents and purposes, that they can sort of, you know, rotate and tweak their tactics to suit a certain game. But their overriding principle is always to have a go, and that gives them a chance. There's absolutely, and I tear my hair out at times, where you see sort of supposedly lesser teams going into games against, you know, the Premier League heavyweights, what they want to do is they just want to defend. There's no point in playing a training ground game of attack versus defence against the front line of Liverpool's quality, because you're not going to hold out for 90 minutes. It's ridiculous and it's impossible. And I don't know why so many teams do that. So surely the way to try and beat these teams is to try and give them a little bit of their own medicine. And you know what? You might concede, but you're going to have a much better chance of scoring if you go into it with a positive mindset and with the belief that, you know what, we're actually going to try and pose some questions to them as well. You know, go into it and be proactive rather than just totally compliant. And I think that's what Sheffield United will be looking to do.
Well, some of the goals they have conceded this season, Liverpool, have all been when they absolutely chuck every man forward. They play that pressing style, aggressive style, but they're vulnerable to the counter. Newcastle scored that way. Arsenal scored that way. Southampton, it could have been earlier in that way. If Sheffield United do that and they do that well, they could have a game on their hands. The fans won't let them breathe for 90 minutes. And then we don't know how Liverpool will react to that. It could rattle him, James.
Yeah, and you know what? Just go back right to the beginning of the show, where we were talking about how Sheffield United are actually, you know, approaching their sort of survival campaign, as it were, because you know that's still what it is. The target is still to establish themselves in the Premier League. But where we were talking about how they're almost doing it in reverse, they're winning games away from home, and that goes to show, when you look at the places where they've won away from home this season or where they've picked up points, you know, these are teams that like to come onto them. Chelsea, you know, they attacked Sheffield United in that game. Bournemouth did exactly the same thing. Everton did to begin with at Goodison Park before Sheffield United just sort of really sort of squeezed the life and the belief out of them. So that, to me, says that, you know, and I think it just confirms that Sheffield United are a very, very good counter-attacking team.
They are,
you know,
James.
And
I'm hoping they can get a result. We have to push you. What do you think? Your score prediction very quickly, James, before this time. We should get more, me and you. They're missing a golden opportunity. What is your score prediction?
You know what? I'm going to go. Let's go for a 1-1.
Let's go for a 1-1. I take it would mean Liverpool, the first time they drop points in the season. Well, that was James Shield from the Sheffield Star. An absolute pleasure to talk to him. The half an hour of the Blaze Show is always a delight. Lots where Sheffield United are concerned. They play Sunderland tomorrow in the League Cup. We'll be talking about their progress on next week's Sheffield United Fan Show. 10:30 till 11 every Tuesday night. You can catch us here. Up next, it is the best of.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.